Without being told, no.
So by studying, one can understand the difference between these two, that citta is that which only experience an object, and each cetasika has its own characteristic and its own function. So we can see what is citta and what is cetasika. While they are nama, both are nama. So there are some places which says that there are 53 nama, 52 cetasika, including one characteristic of citta. Because the characteristic of citta is only experiences and object, while the 52 cetasikas have their own characteristics, different from the characteristic of citta. And we say it's anger, because the characteristic of anger can appear when it arises. As now, there is seeing. We just said there is seeing. But the characteristic of citta, which sees, does it appear when there is no awareness? No beginning of understanding at this moment that that which sees is a reality, not a self at all. So we just talk from reading about different words like citta, cetasika, and rupa, and luminous. But there should be the understanding of the characteristic of a reality right now in order to really understand the difference between citta and cetasika and rupa. For example, at this moment of seeing, what can be known? Any cetasika?
No.
Or that reality which is now sees? No shape, no form, but its function is seeing. Whenever it arises, that reality is citta which sees. Different from the moment when the citta which hears arise, it cannot see. But whenever it arises, different dhatu, different element, because it can experience only sound. By conditions too, even there is sound, no shape, no form, but the seeing cannot hear it. Only the citta which can hear by having the ear base and the sound which has arisen and hasn't fallen away yet, condition the moment of hearing. And one can develop the understanding from hearing about this, and at the moment when hearing is hearing, that it's that reality which is hearing, to understand citta, not cetasika at that moment.
But without satipatthana, it's just thinking
Right. So one can understand the difference between moment with satipatthana and moment without satipatthana. Otherwise, panya cannot develop. It is only intellectual understanding. One can learn a lot, hear a lot, but now reality performs its function anytime, so awareness can arise and understanding develops to know the true nature of reality as it is. But as you said that one shouldn't aim to have more sati or wish to have sati a lot in a day, because the purpose is to understand. At the moment of understanding visible object right now, because visible object is now appearing, it is not thinking about it, because at moment of thinking, it's not awareness of visible object. So it's so natural that even visible object always appear like it does not fall away at all. But there can be moment when there is the beginning of understanding visible object as just that which can appear only when there is seeing. Much different from thinking about people and things. So we don't have to go away anywhere, because even right now, by hearing this, it can condition the understanding of visible object as that which is now appear only to seeing, when it hasn't fallen away yet, and it means that it has arisen, so it can appear now.
But is there, according to accumulations, maybe different people will have sati for different...
It doesn't matter at all. But one knows that there is avijja when there is no understanding of seeing, hearing, because there is seeing and hearing in a day from morning to night. So it's good to understand the accumulation of avijja, so long and so great, with attachment, attached to the self and to the result, to experience. But it's impossible because it's not the self who can understand realities as they are. But it has to be right understanding from wise attention to what everyone hears and reads about, even right now.
Seems to me this is so important, just the basic understanding of seeing and hearing.
And other
sense door mm-hmm. experiences. Yeah. Because there's really so little awareness of this, and yet it's really at such a gross level in a way, because we know from theory that there are six worlds, not one world.
And usually thinking always follows. That's why there is no awareness or understanding of reality which appears mm-hmm. through the senses.
It means that in the beginning it's important to differentiate thinking and not thinking.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, when one was asked, what did you see? One would say, people and things. No understanding of visible reality which appears at all.
I mean, Jonathan says he feels that it's so important to understand the six senses, but what else is there to understand? That's the only way we experience the world. If we're talking about coming to an understanding of what's going on, what else is there to look at? What else is there to consider?
Well, some people believe that they can understand through conventional reality.
Not only that, I think we all tend to think that, for example, that there needs to be more gusala, or that we need to understand more about anger, or I mean, there's any number of other things. But what struck me as Ajahn Chah was talking was, this is very basic stuff. There are six different doorways, six different worlds. But how often are we not thinking of some more advanced level of awareness?
This is why I quite like, for myself, a lot more consideration regarding anicca, dukkha, anatta. That's why I particularly like that, because really at the end of the day, whether there's thinking, whether there's seeing, whatever it happens to be, whether it's anger, whether it's wanting more gusala, they are all coloured by the same brush.
Who is thinking? Who? I.
Exactly.
So no understanding of the thinking as thinking, not I. Because we know about the world of concept and world of absolute realities by book. But right now, what moment is the world of reality and what moment is the world of concept? The teachings of Buddha all came from his enlightenment. He knew everything, but when we read, we have just a little knowledge, like the word Dhamma or tattu, element. We may think that we know, but actually it's not just the intellectual understanding of the meaning of tattu or Dhamma. But now, what is Dhamma? Is seeing a Dhamma? Is hearing a Dhamma? Is this a Dhamma? By knowing this, we can understand what he meant by all Dhammas are not permanent. But we have to know this Dhamma and that Dhamma. Each one is not permanent, not just think that all are impermanent, but what is one by one?
There has to be an awareness, a good understanding.
We better understand one's own understanding, how much one understands. For the word Dhamma, if we can know that seeing is Dhamma, hearing is Dhamma, everything is Dhamma, so we can say that everything is Dhamma. But if there is no understanding of this as Dhamma, because it's I who's thinking, or I who see, or I who hear, we just say that everything is Dhamma. All Dhammas are not permanent. But it has to be one's own understanding, more advanced and perfect, to really directly experience the impermanence of a reality at a moment, or a characteristic.
See, this is the point, though, isn't it? Like Sarah was saying, which is a very good point, which she repeats quite often, about we're not chasing gusala, we're not chasing wholesomeness. That's not what we're trying to do. That's not the point, to keep having more wholesomeness in our lives. And I agree, it's more to understand the characteristic, the nature of the object, rather than trying to superimpose one for another.
So at this very moment, if awareness arises, Right understanding knows that this moment it is aware of a reality, very naturally, by conditions. Otherwise, there can be intention to be aware, and intention is not any factor of the Eightfold Path at all.
So if there is some awareness of a reality, does the wisdom know that it is not self at that stage?
Not so sudden.
Not so sudden. Well, actually, one of my questions, when there is clear understanding of all of the objects through all six doors, what is the next level of sati?
Higher vipassanayana.
To be aware of what?
Any reality, because who knows what will be the next reality.
So I guess that one's knowing nama from rupa. So then does it begin to know different namas, like ajita from ajita sika?
We can talk about hardness, but is there awareness of hardness right now?
No.
So we just talk about hardness, and we know that there is hardness. So it's not the way to experience the
infinite. No, I know it's not, but I'm just wondering, if once Panya has known all of the realities that appear,
there would be detachment from taking all those realities for self.
No, but listening to Azita, it seems as if we have to know thoroughly all the realities through the six doors.
Well, that's what we were saying. The reality which appear.
But there is no something we can measure and say that when we've done so much, then there will be nama, rupa, pariccheda, dhyana. And is there really a limit to that experience?
We know nama, rupa, pariccheda, dhyana by word, right?
Yes.
But dhyana is dhyana, and dhyana is panya. So one can see whether there is awareness of a reality right now. If there is no awareness, can we say that we know the difference between nama and rupa?
No.
We just talk about hardness, seeing, hearing, no awareness, no understanding, no development.
I think what you're saying is there's no clear demarcation between. But that wasn't Aziza's question, it was a hypothetical question. Mm-hmm. But obviously, as dhammas do become more and more known, mm-hmm. as nama and rupa, then there's also developing on from that. You're not taking it yourself.
And then it's probably less and less, have I got to this stage yet? Yeah.
Talking about hardness, padwi, dhatu, we always talk about hardness, softness. The aspect of what is experienced when you touch the table, the kind of roughness or smoothness, is this an aspect of pata?
That's the meaning of kanda, see? Roughness, softness,
right.
Fineness. Yeah.
Right. But is it an aspect of patui also?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Otherwise, patui will not be rupakanda.
Right.
Since rupakanda are various by way of being
right,
soft
right,
or hard.
Right. I'm just wondering why we always talk about hardness, softness, why we don't talk about roughness, smoothness.
Hardness is fine or rough.
Right, okay. Right.
Softness is fine.
Or, yeah.
Okay.
But you can have smooth and rough.
Smooth and rough, right. Just as it is, we can
mm-hmm.
say.
Yeah.
And talking about just as it is, when we talk about visible object, for me I just like the translation visible object, and when it's translated as colour, it's a little bit like when we discussed before about light. Light is an aspect of visible object. Or when we use colour, it seems colour is an aspect of visible object, but not the whole visible object.
Mm.
So it can be a little bit misleading.
What about what is seen?
What is seen is fine.
Yeah.
But just to say colour can be...
It doesn't matter what word you try to explain.
I suppose it's like saying hardness, softness.
Yeah.
It's just an aspect.
That which can be experienced by body sense.
Right. But then when we talk about the characteristic or the dhatu or visible object in the kalapa, which is not experienced, so every kalapa has visible object, usually in the text when it talks about, okay, what is seen now, they use rupa as the translation, what is seen. But when it's talking about visible object in the kalapas, they use bhana or kala.
We don't have to think about that at all.
It's the same.
Yeah, because now we don't have to think about hardness and visible object, because the eye can contact only with it. Yeah.
Just a correction, I meant to say earlier that you can have soft and rough, not smooth, but so they are different actually aspects of the bodily experience.
It's interesting how there's just the experience through the sense doors, and then there's thinking about what we experience, which is all conceptual. And every one of us here has a different conceptual experience right now. And I can imagine a lot of other people could be in this room and have a completely different conceptual experience of what was going on right now. So it really makes one wonder whether most of our life is really spent in illusion, because we make up the story, we make up the story, we make up the whole thing. And if we're not really seeing the realities as they are, whether it's seen or whether it's the taste or whether thinking dominates, which creates this concept and story.
But often I wonder, even for the enlightened person, there'll still be a lot of thinking following the experiencing of Dhammas, because there'll still be concepts of people and things.
If someone was enlightened, they may use conceptual terms, but they would know the reality of what's going on.
Yeah.
So, which is really...
They would see the world in a totally different way, totally separate.
I think that's right. No wrong view. But still a lot of thinking, I think. Often we think the culprit is...
just realizing the nature of thinking. In other words, thinking would be used as a tool, perhaps, but realizing the essence of it, which is no essence, no reality, used just as a tool.
Can you say that for Sotapanna, Loka Mula Chitta without Ditti is same as for Puttajana, Loka Mula Chitta without Ditti?
No, Loka Mula Chitta.
Without. So when moments of Loka Mula Chitta without Ditti for Sotapanna and Puttajana is the same.
Exactly.
And the thinking following it can also be the same.
Exactly. Otherwise, how can he think? The big difference is Vipassanayana, which really understands reality at that moment as it is. For example, are we in the darkness?
We don't think so.
See, different.
Knowing about the darkness.
The citta is so dark,
citta
no
dark.
Shape, no form.
Citta is dark.
Citta is dark.
Right or wrong?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's luminous.
What do you mean by the chitta is dark?
No shape, no form, no light, no sound, nothing there. Only the tattoo, the element which can experience whenever it arises. It has to experience an object, no matter through what doorway. So the light is rupa and chitta is so dark which can experience it.
So where does the word luminous come into it then?
At that moment, just talk about the reality which can experience an object.
You're avoiding this word luminous.
It cannot. This is the meaning. This is the meaning of nama, which is luminous.
What is it?
Not like the rupa, which is luminous. The characteristic which can experience an object only, it cannot like or dislike. And that is the meaning of pandara. No matter it's akusala citta or akusala citta, it can just experience.
So luminous is not a very good translation then.
It is.
This is for pandra, but
for
usually
pandra.
We translate that as clear or...
I see.
Yeah, but luminous is usually just for
pandra. That's why I don't mind the word, but I think that if we can understand that, no matter what word you use, to really understand it.
You're talking about pandra.
Yeah. And you are talking about Pavanga citta or kusala citta, which one? Or any kind of citta, see?
Yeah, but wait a minute, the kusala is what colors it. Let's talk about Vijnana without any chittasika, without any...
Yeah, but shall we talk about citta itself first, so that we can understand about citta and chittasika when they arise together?
I have a great curiosity for Vijnana. Only because I have...
Just the word or the reality of it...
Well, you've said yourself we have to talk about this first. And
the characteristic.
And I feel that we haven't really explored verbally
Vijnana.
For example, if you try to explain to a non-Buddhist about the Dharma, and you explain Vijnana, and you explain Chitta Seekers, it's so easy for people to think that Vijnana is the self, or part of the self, or something like a self. Not quite. And that takes a lot to really...
How can the self come in? When we just talk about the reality or the element, only an element which can experience an object.